we need to hear. Maybe we don't like to hear. And so, but one of the reasons it's so important to be able to worship God is because if you could worship God, then no matter what happens in the world, you could deal with it. Because you're basically saying, God, I trust you. I know you. I know you're real. I know you love me. I know you got everything under control. The United States, the Christian church in America is being punked right now. And what I mean by being punked, they're put in a corner to say this, that if you don't support the agenda of gay marriage and the homosexual agenda, that we are bigots and discriminatory. The reason I want to talk about this today is because November 4th is going to be the most important election in your lifetime, my lifetime, which is almost twice as long as some of y'all's lifetime. And not because we may have the first black president, because that's not even on my radar as much as the marriage issue. And the reason that's so important is that y'all have been trained in your schools growing up that what the Bible says that pertains to sexuality is not true. I'm here to tell you it's true. And I'm here to tell you what you've been told and what you're being told, you're being punked. The church is being punked to say if you don't buy into this, you are a bigot and you're discrimination. That is manipulation. No one wants to be considered a discriminatory person. No one wants to be considered a hatred person. But to talk the Bible is not hatred. They want you to make it seem that way. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about in the last days, what's right is going to be wrong, what's wrong is going to be right. And we see that today. So November 4th, we have this vote. And it's Proposition 8, which basically says we are going to restore the vote of the people of 2000 and determine once and for all, change the Constitution that marriage should be between a man and a woman. As you know, it's legal here in California, and it'll change after we vote in November. Now, you may say, what is the big deal? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it would be wrong for me to marry my sister? Me to marry my mother? Or how about me marry my neighbor's wife while he's married to her and a child? And all of you would probably say that's wrong. And I would say to you, you're a bigot. Why are you discriminating? Why shouldn't I be able to do that? Because I love them and they love me. And you would just say, it's just wrong. Well, there was a day when we said the same thing about two men getting married. But we have changed because we've been brainwashed. So what happens if two men get married and then three men get married and four men get married? Where do you draw the line? Now, you may be saying, well, that's ridiculous. That's my whole point. That's my whole point. You have no standard. You have no basis to distinguish between one or the other. There's no reason if two men get married why five men can't get married. There's no reason because there's no moral basis for two men get married. The only moral basis we have for marriage is right here, and it's a man and a woman. And when you do that, and you have to understand, you have to understand that two men being married is only the beginning of the domino effect. Is that in the state of Colorado today, any man can walk into any bathroom, a girl's bathroom. It is legal. You can't stop them. Why? Because they basically said, you know, it's cross-genderism and all that kind of stuff, and if you stop them, it's a $5,000 fine. So when you have a child, and your 12-year-old girl goes into the bathroom, there may be two guys in there. And it's legal in Colorado today, right now. It's also that way in public schools here in San Diego, in the state of California, that a little boy is not necessarily a little boy according to the school. If they feel like they're a girl, they're a girl. And they have to honor that, and they have to let them go in the girl's bathroom. This is perversion. Okay, so they're training a bunch of kids, starting in kindergarten. And so gay marriage is just part of the issue. They will also sue. There are two pastors right now being sued in California because they won't marry gay people. Though you heard they won't be forced, yes, they will. That is true. They are being sued right now. Zondervan, a Christian publisher, and Nelson, a Christian publisher, probably published some of your Bibles, they are being sued for $60 million because in their books, or a book, it said homosexuality is a sin. They're being sued right now. So the lawsuits are coming. Why? Because they want to normalize all those lifestyles and make everybody else, 95% of the population, to bow down to the agenda and deny what we believe, that you can't preach this anymore. That's where we're going, because they want to silence the truth, okay? So it's not about civil rights for a few. It's not about civil rights. It's about civil rights for a few at the expense of 95% of everybody else. There's a woman, African-American woman in Toledo. She's a human resource vice president of a company, and their company put out a newsletter stating that the gay agenda battle is equivalent to the battle of race back in the 50s and 60s and before. And she says, as a black woman, I'm offended to equate a behavior, an action, to what I am. You can be counseled, and people who are gay get counseled and change and go heterosexual. I can't be counseled out of my blackness. And I don't want to be counseled out of my blackness. She was fired from her job for just stating her opposition. And what it is, it's a very powerful force to say we are going to make you submit to our belief style, our belief system. That's not tolerance. That's not fair. That's discriminatory. So when you have to open your eyes, and especially if you believe this book, you have to know that this is the truth. Presidential candidate McCain or presidential candidate Obama do not determine what the Bible says, because they're quoting it very wrong and misrepresenting it grossly. You have to know what the Bible says. Don't let MTV or television tell you what this says and tell you what love is. People say, well, you're supposed to be a loving person. How come you don't love? Well, I do. But loving somebody unconditionally does not mean that you approve of what they do unconditionally. If I have kids, which I do, I love my kids, but my kids says, I want to put my hand in the fire. I say, no. Why? Because it's going to hurt them. But you say, well, you love them. I said, that's what I'm going to tell them. If you really love, and a lot of y'all have gay friends, if you really love them, you will tell them the truth in love. You won't tell them what they want to hear. That's not love. That's your enemy kissing you. The Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful. That means when you tell someone the truth and it hurts, but you tell them because you love them, that's faithfulness. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, yeah, you're good. Oh, you're good. When in the back of your mind, you don't agree. If you are a gay man, you have 1,000 times more likely chance of getting HIV. If you have a gay friend, you need to tell him that so he knows. If a man is gay at 20, he's going to die 10 to 20 years sooner than if he's heterosexual. They need to know that and not be told it's the same. And little kids from kindergarten are being told it's the same, and they're being lied to. Matter of fact, I got a report the other day that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they are very concerned because there's a spike in HIV between 16 and 25 years old because of MSM, men having sex with men. And they are very concerned because they don't know, the behavior is dangerous. This is the Center for Disease Control. Why is the government saying this and at the same time telling the little kids it's okay? Why are they telling you that? Because it's against the law to tell you the truth. Your schools cannot tell you the truth. They are bound by law to not talk against the alternative lifestyle. That's deception. You are being deceived. SB 77 that was passed in January, they can't, in public schools, they cannot say anything against alternative lifestyle, even though it's true. I can tell you that. And maybe one day I will be sued for saying what I'm saying now, but I'm telling you. So you need to know. The reason I'm telling you all this is because one of my roles in this year is to motivate young people to understand this throughout the state, to understand this issue and to go vote properly. And we're going to have a rally here September 10th that's going to be televised, simulcast throughout the state on this issue to train kids throughout the state to get out and vote. We need a few people. If you look in your bulletin and open up the flap to your right, there's a little contact information. If you are a good webmaster, I mean good, if you are a cameraman, editor, or administrator, please fill that out, and we would like to get you involved in helping us re-educate young people. How many of y'all do not have kids? I'm glad I got no kids. Okay. I want you to think one day your kids are going to be born and they're going to go to school and they're going to be told something and they're going to be taught something. They're either going to be told when your little boy goes to school that he is not necessarily a boy or that mommy and daddy don't matter, or they're going to be told mommy and daddy do matter. It's up to you. This is about your kids. You may not care, but it's about your kids. A friend of mine, his kid, first grade, second grade, here in San Diego, he got the yearbook and saw his son in a tutu in the yearbook. And he said to his son, what is that? And he said, they were making us wear different clothes because they were telling us it's okay. And they're telling us that, you know, we may be a girl, boy, and it's okay to wear different clothes. And they put me in a tutu and put him in the yearbook. Now, I want you to imagine you're in first grade and that happens to you by your teacher. What's that going to do to you? This is the law in California. And guess what? If he went to school to protest, which a father did in Torrance, California, he went to school and said, I don't want my kids to learn that. And they said, we're going to do it. Here's what they said. When your kid comes on campus, they belong to the state. You need to leave. The guy didn't leave. They arrested him. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about, your kids. So if you just say it's no big deal, understand it's a big deal. And it's all connected because they wanna normalize all sexual relationships outside of marriage. There was a psychologist who wrote an article saying that sex with adults and children was healthy. Oh, yes. You guys are going, oh, this stuff is, I read this every day. That's why I'm so passionate about it. Now, you as Christians say, it's a political thing. No, it's a moral thing. It's a moral thing because you got little kids going to school. They don't know any better. And when they go into school, they're being taught this. And it is against the law to tell them the whole story. And all y'all who are in high school, how many of y'all in high school? How many of y'all in high school? They won't tell you the whole story. They're going to tell you what they want you to know, but they're not going to tell you the whole story. And so you need to know the whole story. So I want you to be praying about this because November 4th, we got to vote. And November 4th, we got to take back and make sure that God is honored. Because let me tell you something. If God is not honored, death comes. If God is not honored, death comes. Now, I'm going to say this last thing. I hope, and I want to ask somebody in here to sign up and start a ministry to the homosexual community here in San Diego. And what I mean by that is, and God's been talking to you. God's been talking to you, huh, girl? Is that what you said? Let's go. I saw you. You write your little name in the flap, and here's what you can do. I'm going to give you two things, but there's probably 100. You can go to the hospital and pray for the ones that are dying of AIDS. They got cancer, all kind of cancers. They got gonorrhea in more than one place. You go down there and you pray for them. And you could also start a ministry that can help recover them that they want to get out of it, because they can get out of it because they're not born that way. There's no evidence of that. No matter what you've been told, it's a lie. They were not born that way. Okay? And by the way, whether you're born a certain way doesn't make it right or wrong. That's a whole other issue. It doesn't matter whether you're born that way. It doesn't make it right or wrong. So anyway, I want to challenge someone in that to start that ministry. Last thing, do we love them? Absolutely. Love them. We're not going to marry them. And matter of fact, if you're heterosexual and you come to us to marry you and you're not living right, we ain't going to marry you neither. We have the right to discriminate. That's called religious freedom. So if you say, yeah, me and my boyfriend, you know, we've been living together, blah, 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 we just want to get married, we're going to say, okay, we'll marry you, but you first got to go through counseling and get your life right. Well, we don't want to do that. Well, you need to go somewhere else, though. I ain't going to marry you. We reserve that right. We do it every day. We do it every day. So are we discriminatory? Yeah, all the time. If two guys came here, if a guy came here and said, I want to marry my mother and sister, we say, I ain't going to marry you. What's the problem? So don't get manipulated by the educational system, and don't get manipulated because there's groups of gay political groups in Sacramento making these laws on your behalf, and they're manipulating you, and they're coming after me. I get the emails, and we get the phone calls, and there's going to come a day, if we lose, especially in November, churches will be closing down because they will lose their tax exemption because they will sue the church, as they say they won't, but they are. They will sue the church, they will sue pastors and try to shut us down because the church is the only one saying anything. Everyone else is kind of, okay, let's live, whatever, whatever. And mostly because everyone else doesn't know all the facts. But your kids, when they go to that school, I want you to imagine, they can't reproduce, so they're going to convert. They're going to convert them in the schools. They're going to convert them. And it's happening. So let that be said. Think about it. If you go on the internet and just Google stuff. Go to CDC, look up MSM, and you will get your mind blown. And there's another website called Beyond Marriage. And what that means is that once marriage is gone, look at all the sexual freedom we can have. Check it out. Okay, let's see your Bibles. Okay, my bad. Let's do one more thing before we start. Let's do the wave tonight. Let's do the wave, okay? Booty back, put your booty back. What? You want to start over here or over here? They don't want to start. Okay, here we go. Can't start in the, how are we going to start in the middle? How do you do that? Okay, we'll start in the middle and we'll do this. Here, let's do this. Okay, watch. We're gonna do this. Can y'all do that? Can y'all do that? Can y'all handle it? Right through the middle, and we're gonna go. Brr, brr. Yeah, like Moses. We're gonna part the Red Sea. Okay, here we go. Y'all ready? Never been done ever in the history of the planet on the universe. Are y'all ready? Y'all ready up there? Up top, y'all ready? Regular speed first. We need 100% participation. This is called dictatorship. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Word. Okay, let's Okay? So after they go, y'all go again. After they go, y'all go again. Are you with me? Okay, let's try it one more time. Here we go. Word. It's kind of difficult. Okay. I know it's kind of difficult. Trust me, I see. But what you want to do is you want to go word and go straight back down and then come back up. Okay. So we'll do a slow motion. Maybe that'll help. Because y'all were like, okay, here we go. Ready? Slow motion. It's kind of not working out, but we'll do it one more time. Fast motion. Ready? Here we go. Booty back, booty back, booty back, booty back. Look at the person next to you and say, you're kind of old to do this. Little kids should be doing this. What? A what? Example? Word. You ready? Here we go. Word. Why you want me to do example? Just because, you want to make fun of me. Okay, let's see Bibles. Word. Pens. Lesson plan. 1 Samuel 18. Let me say one more thing before we start. If anything I say to you offends you, here's what you need to do. You need to go to God and say, God, he offended me. What should I do? And God's going to say, I want you to read the Bible and find out what was wrong. So if you disagree, just disagree based on truth, not your opinion, because my opinion doesn't mean anything. So match your truth with my truth. My truth is the Bible. And so if you have a better truth, tell me, and then I will bow down to that. Okay, so if you be offended, just make sure you know why you're offended. Okay, make sure your being offended is correct. Because you may be offended based on a lie, your own perception of truth. Okay. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just being a good God. I thank you that you made man. Thank you that you made woman. Thank you that you are powerful and loving. I pray you bless us today and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you several times my son plays football in college, and I still have football friends, and every now and then we get a chance to go out and throw with quarterbacks who are practicing, especially this time of the year, guys are getting ready to go back to training camp, whether it be pro training camp or college training camp. So we get out in the field and we'll throw. So yesterday, we went out there with the former quarterback from San Diego State, who's now with the New England Patriots. Kevin O'Connell is like 6'6", about 475 pounds. I don't know how big that brother is, but he's a giant. And another kid from Grossmont, quarterback, my son, a receiver from USC. And I was playing kind of defensive back, kind of backpedaling, kind of giving him a look. So we were out there. We spent about 20 minutes warming up, and then we started throwing routes. And it's rapid fire. You know, they're calling out the route, throwing the ball, bam, 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 one after another, after another, after another. And the guy, the trainer, all these guys have a trainer who's got the balls out there, and he's organizing this little practice. And so we kind of give him a look. And about halfway through, we're out there for like an hour and a half. And halfway through, this 13-year-old kid walks out there with his mom, and he had gone to the gym where they all work out, and they said, go down to the field and work out. They're throwing balls because he wants to be a receiver. He's 13. Well, we didn't know anything. We just see this kid walking out with his mom, and he's just kind of standing there. And we said, get in line. Now, you have to understand, it was rapid fire. You know, they're calling out, you know, slant route, you know, hook, and comeback, and speed out. And there's very specific ways you run these routes because this guy, well, there's very specific ways you run them. And the one quarterback from state, now he's playing for the Patriots, so it's very specific what he needs to practice his throw. And he's throwing, like, fastballs. Zing! Zing! And so this little 13-year-old kid comes out there. The dude weighs like 17 pounds. And he's like a stick. And he's like, I don't know any of this. I don't know what the routes mean. I can't get the balls going 100 miles an hour. But as soon as he got in line, they're like, okay, speed out. Zing! And he's kind of like running. And the ball's like, I felt bad for the kid. Because the balls were just like, they would hit his hands and his wrist would just break, right? And they're like, catch the ball, man, but not yelling at him, just kind of like, that's just the testosterone flowing, you know, yelling at him. And I'm like coaching this kid, I'm thinking, man, he's 13. He probably weighs 70 pounds. And so I'm trying to coach him. I'm saying, okay, here's how you run. Here's how you break. Here's how you turn your head. Get your hands and your thumbs together, your pinkies together. And I'm looking at this kid thinking, and again, believe me, they're throwing these balls hard because that's what they got to do. And I'm looking at, man, if this kid comes out next year and the year after, he's going to be really good. He was actually incredibly amazing for a kid 13. But I was thinking, if he could just learn these basic things, when he becomes a senior in high school, he's going to be a beast. What we're going to look at today is we saw a few weeks ago, David went from being a shepherd to a what killer? Right. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the fact that David's going to go from being a giant killer to the king of Israel. To the king of Israel. He's going to ascend from the day he kills Goliath, he's going to have a meeting with Saul, King Saul. And from that day, King Saul is going to try to kill him because King Saul realized he's going to take his job. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at David ascending from being a giant killer to the king of Israel. Now, every single one of y'all are giant killers. Every single one of you have overcome obstacles, plural, emotional, financial, relational, career, even though you don't have a career yet, but that's the thing. You don't know. You're trying to figure it out. And all y'all have overcome obstacles in your life, all your life. That's good. Now you got to grow from being a giant killer to now being a facilitator of giant killers, an identifier of giant killers. In other words, you're going to help other people overcome stuff. If you've been through a breakup, how many of y'all have been through a breakup? Thank you. Look at all that emotional pain, suicidal tendencies, okay? If I can't have you, no one's going to have you. Ah! We all been there. Matter of fact, has anyone not been there? You never broke up with anybody? He's going to tell me a story now. Tell me something. You just got your first, her? Is it her? She's not sitting with you? She's what? Oh, she's serving. And your first girlfriend today. Wow, how old are you? 26, first girlfriend today. That, man. All of y'all who had like five girlfriends, y'all, and y'all girls, like, man, where'd that brother come from? That's pretty good, brother. Well, we're going to pray for you, okay? Pray it works out. Pray you get married to her and go through no heartbreak, because we're talking about drama queens right out here, okay? We all been through drama, amen? Okay, and you got through it. So since you got through it, guess what? There's someone getting ready to go through that you can help. Don't just take all the comfort just for you. So you want to go from being a giant killer to the king of Israel. Now, in this story we're going to look at, matter of fact, let's read it. Chapter 17, verse 54. This is at the very end, right after David had killed Goliath. Right after David had killed Goliath. K-I-L-T, kilt. Kilt. 17:54. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of his army, whose son is that youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O Lord, I do not know. And the king said, inquire whose son it is. Find out who he is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. You imagine? David, you can't kill Saul. You're only a little boy. Now he's got his head. What you think now, King? You want some of this? Okay. Got his head. Okay. And then verse 58. Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Now, ladies, the book before 1 Samuel is? Very good. Fellas, and Ruth married? Right. Ruth married Boaz, and Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. Read verse 58. Whose son are you? Jesse. Are you following me? So Ruth and Boaz had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And David is going to be the ancestor of Jesus. So Ruth, the Moabite, she did the right thing. Verse 1, chapter 18. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, who was Saul's son, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. I heard one of the homosexual arguments is that these two guys were gay because they loved each other as their own soul. Don't buy it. Stupid. David had many wives. That was a whole other issue. It's another problem, but he wasn't gay. I can tell you that now. Verse 4. Jonathan took off his robe. And by the way, two guys can love each other. I have a lot of guy friends that I love to death. That means I am so committed to helping them obey God, and I love being with them. That has nothing to do with intimacy at all. So don't buy into it. Verse 4, Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went over wherever Saul sent him and behaved what? Say the word. Say the word. One more time. Say it with some bass. Very good. Sorry, ladies. I didn't mean y'all say bass. David behaved wise. Look at verse 14. David behaved what? Look at verse 15. Therefore, when Saul saw that David behaved very wise. Verse 30. The princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wise. Very good. Everyone say wise. Say wisdom. Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. Wisdom is not knowledge. You can go to school all you want and get all the information. It doesn't mean you're wise. It means you have information. There's a difference between having information and having wisdom. Wisdom is how do you use that information. All y'all will go to school and take your exams and midterms and all that kind of stuff and go and leave and may never use that information ever again. You may never use it. As a matter of fact, some of y'all are going to go to school, your parents are going to rack up $50, $60, $80, $100,000 to take education, and then you're going to go get a job at Starbucks. Well, yeah, I went to school, I was pre-law, I was pre-med, poli-sci, and you know, I just took all the classes, I was summa cum laude, chuchale cum mucha calade. Here, my education was $35,000 a year. So what do you do now? Oh, I work at Starbucks. Now, I'm not saying nothing wrong with Starbucks, but if you want to work at Starbucks, don't spend $100,000, then work at Starbucks. But the point is this, you get all this information, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with the information, but wisdom is different than having the information. Wisdom is knowing how to use the information. That's why when you go into the real world with your degree thinking you know something, when you really don't know hardly anything about what you're going to do. That's fine, though. You have a foundation. But then you get the job, and they say, now, here's how it really works. Here's how it really works. Matter of fact, if you go to seminary, they will teach you nothing. Well, I would say nothing. Very little, if only nothing, about leadership. Leading a church. Dealing with a staff. You don't know nothing. You don't know theory. And you have this doctrine stuff. And it does you no good when you have to get people to work. Or you have to deal with neighbors. You have to deal with lawsuits. You have to deal with the politics of the community. You have to get a license and permits. And you don't learn nothing like that. And so you have to figure it out. And so wisdom is the right use of knowledge, is knowing to get the right people to help you. So David was very wise. He was also a leader. Everyone say leader. Leadership is influence. A leader is someone who influences people. Everyone say influence. A leader is someone who is followed. If no one's following you, you're just going for a walk. You're not a leader. So leadership is influence. Whether you like Bill Clinton or not, and I'm not promoting him either way, but he was an amazing leader. Why? He can influence people. He could look at you in your eye and tell you he didn't do something when you know he did it and you believe him. You go, maybe he didn't do it. And you're like, wow, that dude was a master. He was a master influencer. No matter what was going on. I tell you, and I'm telling you, the pressure that dude deal with to stand up and give speeches when you know his whole life is falling apart, he's getting ready to get impeached, all this stuff, and he just smiles and talks to you, and you go, is this guy fazed by all this? He was a master. Whether you agree with him or not, I'm not even saying I don't agree with a lot of, but for his gift, woo! Barack Obama's smooth. He's smooth. And trust me, I ain't into, I gotta have a black president, I gotta have a godly president. Unfortunately, there's neither. That's the problem we have. And that's a whole nother story. Whole nother story. But my point is that some people have that. They can influence people. You have the ability to influence somebody other than yourself. At least one person. And if you are gonna be a parent, it better be that guy, that child. Okay? So you wanna be a wise leader. David was very wise. We're gonna see three things he did that was very wise. Look at number one in your notes. Number one in your notes. The wise thing to do is acquire a good name among people. Everyone say good name. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is better to be had than gold and silver. Trust me when I tell you, you want to strive in the spirit to have a good name than more money. You can have more money, more money, more money, and be depressed and hated by everybody. Now, if you have both, great. But you want to have a good name. What does that mean? People understand you. They respect you. They don't have to agree with you. They don't have to agree. You don't have to work for people to agree with you. Do not do that. Work to be understood and work to understand. Today's flip-flop Sunday. How many of y'all got flip-flops? How many of y'all would have had them on anyway? Oh, we didn't really accomplish anything. I don't really know the purpose of it anyway, but I don't own flip-flops. Matter of fact, I had to get these today. I didn't own any until today. So I don't own them, right? And because my feet are really bad, I had to fix my feet. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, I went to Happy Nail. My wife was like, you better go get your feet done. You go. I was like, I'm not going to no pedicure. Matter of fact, I walk by the Happy Nail all the time. It was near my house, and I never go in. I'll talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. I love meeting new people, blah, blah. And I walk by Happy Nail, and if this is the doorway, I'll just kind of, like, I won't go in. I don't know why. I just won't go in. And I look at everybody's in there doing their nails, and all the ladies, and they always look at you like, you know. And I get the feeling, and maybe I'm self-conscious, like, don't come in here. This is our space. That's what I feel anyway. But maybe it's just me and my insecurity. I don't know. I'm a very insecure person. And so, I look in there, and I go, I'm not going in there. So yesterday, I had to go to Happy Nail. So I go in there with my daughter and her friend because they wanted to witness my Happy Nail experience. So I go in there, and I'm talking to the lady. They sit me down, and you know, they put me in the chair. And my daughter said, turn the chair on. The chair goes on. It was, and then it was rolling on my back. And so I'm doing the whole thing, and they put my feet in the water, and the lady comes down, and I'm wanting to have a relationship. I want to get to know the lady. So I was like, what's your name? She said, Chow Lao. That's what she said. I mean, she didn't like just say it. She's like, chill out. And then she says, but you can call me Nancy. This is true. This happened 3 days ago. I'm no lie. So I was like, chill out, Nancy. She said, don't worry. Don't try to figure it out. You know, so I'm sitting there talking to her, and, you know, got my feet in the water, and she's doing my nails. And because I have never done it, I don't know the protocol. Like, I don't know what exfoliation is supposed to be like. Callus removal, and they got all these packages. They got, you know, the basic package. Then they got the deluxe. I don't remember the names, but, you know, they got the funky feet package and then the really funky feet package and then the jacked up foot package. I'm just exaggerating, but there was something, and everyone was like $11 more. And so I'm like, just give me the most basic package, but I want to get the callus removal in this package. Can I trade it out like, you know, French fries for potatoes? Can I put it down here? So we're having this long conversation, and she's doing my nails and, you know, clicking my nails and whatever, whatever. And then she brings out this big emery board. It was like that big. And she starts filing my heels. How many fellas have never had this done? How many fellas think it's a girl thing? If you think it's a girl thing, let me tell you, brothers. Show them the product, big fella. Show them the product. There we go. There we go. Fellas, don't hate. Don't hate. I'm telling you, you need to go to Happy Nail. Tell Miles sent you. Ask for chalau. So I'm in there. She's doing my heels, right? This is no lie. She got my toes, because your feet are hanging off this little ledge, right? And she's sawing. And I said to her, are you ready for these dogs? Woo, 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 woo. You're going to have to get the electrical. No lie. She's sawing like this. And then she's taking my foot like a stick shift. And then she says, after about a minute, she says, oh my. Because stuff was just chunking off. Just telling you like it was. But let me tell you, it was so good. I never thought, when I was at the desk, and there's a point to the story, I'm getting into it, but I'm dragging it out because I'm having fun. There was a point when I was at the desk, this lady was sitting at the desk, and my daughter and her friend were behind me, and she says, this is going to be the best gift you ever had. I said, this is not a gift. I'm paying myself. They ain't buying me nothing. She said, and you know what she said? This is going to be the best gift you ever had. It was the bomb. I never thought your feet could lose weight. My feet went from being this big to this big. But the whole time I was talking to her, we had a language issue because you know, she speaks Vietnamese and her English was way better than my Vietnamese. I mean, I don't know any Vietnamese. She said hello, she was better. But I was asking her some questions and we weren't really communicating, and I was working because I wanted to communicate. I hate not being able to communicate to people. I hate not being able to make people laugh and have fun, and it was difficult because the language. If you want to have a good name, you have to work at it. You have to work at relationships. Everybody you know is different than you. Everybody you know sees the world different than you. Everybody you know works different than you, whether it be a lot or a little, but nobody is just like you. As a matter of fact, you really don't even know yourself as good as you think. We don't. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We think we're funnier than we are. We think we're smarter than we are. We think we're better looking than we really are, unfortunately. So when you're flicking your stuff, yeah, some people think that's cute, but others, you know, no. You're just not as good as you think. And so we have to work at understanding who we are, accepting that we're not what we think, and work with other people, because you can't just say, this is who I am, take me or leave it, and whatever, because it's not that easy. God put us in relationships, and by the way, conflicting relationships, so we become holy. So when people come to you and they have a whole different perspective on life, and I deal with them all the time, because I put myself in that position to talk to people about stuff that is different than what I think, and to learn, and to teach, and to engage, and to be sharpened as iron sharpens iron. And you want to have a good name? Be that kind of a person. I have a friend of mine, he's not a Christian, and he makes it his point to remind me that every time I'm with him. He'll start cursing around me, you know, loud, and you know, da-da-da-da. And do I love this guy? I love this dude with all my heart. And I know he loves me. And I know he respects me. And he tells me, he says, Miles, I don't agree with you, but I respect you. Why? Because I know you. I've known you for 26 years, and you've been true to it ever since you got saved 24 years ago. And so we'll go out, and he's loud, I'm loud, and we'll go outside, and we'll be loud. And argue about God, and argue about the Bible, and who's right, and all this stuff. And then after that, we'll go, okay, man, let's go inside. We're having a meeting or something. And I'll go, you know I love you. He goes, I know I love you too, man. We'll give each other a hug, and that's it. And we'll say, but next time I'm coming after you again. And then we'll do it again. But you know what, though? We have a good name with each other, because we know where each other stand. We're not phony. He's not phony. I'm not phony. And so you want to work at relationships. David, we're going to see in the next few weeks, he was so diligent and so humble with everybody he knew. Even Saul, who was trying to kill him, he was honoring to Saul, who was trying to kill him. If you read ahead, please read ahead on your own. You can do that. You'll see he was always calling Saul, who was trying to kill him, king, the anointed. As a matter of fact, when David's men wanted to kill Saul, David twice said, don't kill him. He's God's anointed. And then when David died and someone said, guess what? David died and I did it and you should be proud of me. Saul died. When he was telling David Saul died and thinking he was giving David good news, David killed the guy. He says, you killed God's anointed? I thought you would be happy. That was the king. And he killed him. David was so honoring, and he worked at honoring people, being humble. You got to work at it. Because if you're going to help people, you got to have a good name with people. And by the way, write down Proverbs 16:7. Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. What does that mean? That they know where you stand. They know where you stand. They may not agree with you, but they will respect you if you're a person of integrity. Number two, it is wise to acquire a skill. Acquire a skill. Look at verse 5. When David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely, Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine. After he killed Goliath, they were coming home, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing, dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. And the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has killed his thousands. Saul has killed his thousands. But David, he killed tens of thousands. Hey! Was that horrible? It was good? Oh, good. Sign me up. So what happened was they said, Saul, you killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. Saul, you're the bomb, but David is the bomb. You the man, but he the man. David, call me now. They were like, you the man. Now, let's back up there. David had skill. What was his skill? He threw a rock. He threw a rock. Think about it. The Jews are on one hill, the Philistines on another hill for 40 days every day, one day, time of day. Goliath comes out, talks trash, and says, any of you Israelites come kill me, we'll bow down to you. 40 days in a row, no one comes out. David goes out on the 40th day, and he hears Goliath talking. He tells everybody in the army, I could whoop him. He's a little kid. I could whoop him. He's a little kid. And they go, you can't whoop him. And they bring him to the king. And say, king said, this little boy says he can whoop him. And the king says, you can't whoop him. You're only a kid. He's been a man of war since he was a kid. You're only a little kid. How you going to whoop him? He says, king, I killed a lion in the back. I can whoop him. All right. Here's your helmet. Here's your sword. Here's your shield. He goes, I don't need none of that. I don't need none of that. I throw rocks. That's what I do real good. They go, brother, you can't throw a rock. Look at that dude. He's 9 foot tall. He got a shield. He got someone carrying his shield. He got a helmet on. How you going? He says, I throw rocks really good. Just leave me alone. All right, go ahead. He walks down, and all the soldiers, I promise you, I wasn't there, I promise you. They were watching. Were they not? Were they not? Were they not going, that little kid's going to go out and fight that giant with no shield, no helmet, no sword, no armor, nothing, just some shorts and a t-shirt and a rock? Come on. Giant, 9 feet tall, laughing at him. He goes, laughing at me, I'm going to cut your head off. And he starts running at him. They're thinking, that dude is out of his mind. What does he do? Pep, kills him. Goes over to him, takes his sword out, chops his head off. Got his head. That's right. It's your birthday. All the army says, did you see that? Is that your brother? Did you see that? They start going home, running home, saying, Mom, let me tell you what happened. Girl, let me tell you what happened. That brother went out there with a rock and killed a giant with no armor. He is the man. That's what word got back to the honeys when they started singing. David killed tens of thousands. So here's my question to you. What do you do really good? What do you do really good? If God needs you and there's a call on you, what will you do really good? Now, you may say, I'll do anything for God. That's a good attitude to have, but that's not good enough. If someone asked me to do something that was not in my gift, I would say no. That's not what I'm not called to do that. I got to do what God's called me to do. You got to do what God's called you to do. In other words, you would never ask your eye to talk. You should never ask your nose to hear or your mouth to smell. Oh, you can't smell stuff with your mouth because it goes up the olfactory nose. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what I'm saying? God made your body with certain parts to do certain things with certain skills. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are an eye, you are a mouth, you are ear, your hands, your feet, your heart, your vision, your mind. You are something in the body of Christ. You need to know what that is. Because you may be an ear trying to talk. And you don't know why you can't talk. Because you weren't made to. When I mean talk, give presentations. You may be a mouth trying to plan stuff. You weren't made to plan. You're made to talk. So if when God calls on the body of Christ and he goes and looks at you, what is he going to ask you to do? You need to know that. You need to do it really well. Because if you do it really well, God will lift you up. Think of Tiger Woo. What does Tiger Woo do real good? Plays golf. But it's more simple than that. Tiger Woo does this really good. He hits a white ball in a hole with a stick. Right? Tiger Woo, they're your sticks. There's the ball. And the hole is way down. He can't even see it. Hitting that hole. That's what he does really good. Better than anybody. Arguably ever in the history of the planet, universe, galactical. He does that really good. He doesn't need a degree. He made $120 million last year. And he only made 20 of it playing golf. He made 100 in endorsements. Yes. Because he hits the ball in the hole really good. If he didn't hit the ball in the hole really good, throw all that money away. No one wants to give any money because he can't hit the ball in the hole. So my point is this. What do you do really good? And my point is really this. Even if what you do you think is so simple, do it really well. And God will use you. Because at some point, God's going to need someone to come and do something really simple, really good. And he's going to need someone dependable to just knock it out the park right now. And he'll call on you. If you're not ready, he won't call on you. Same thing individually, corporately. When God looks at San Diego or California, he's going, I need a church. I need churches to stand up for my word. I need churches to stand up for my word who know they're going to get persecuted. Where can I find them? Where can I find them? Where can I find people who are going to worship me at the drop of a dime? Where can I find the people who know how to worship me? And he's going to look around and go, nah, not them. Too political. Nah. They're too playing too politics in their church. You know, who's this person and that person? They're not just going to be sold out. These persons are caught up. It's a little Christian country club. They don't want nobody. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to touch nobody. They ain't going to get out in the community. Ah, there's my church. Now, those people will do anything I ask them. That's not true of every church. We want to be that church. When God says go, we say, yes, sir. Let's go. We want to be that church. You want to be that person. And so what is your skill? Where do you fit? Though you may have a great attitude to say, I'll do anything, you need to know what you're really good at. Because some of y'all sign up for stuff and you're not really good at what you signed up for. And we don't want to use you because it's going to be frustrating. Because you don't know what you're good at. We don't know what you're good at. And you want to do something you're not good at. And therefore, it's never going to work out. And you know what? It's okay to tell someone you're not good at this. Oh, you're not being a Christian. You just hurt my feelings. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to tell you the truth. But I want to do that. I know what you want to do, but you can't. But what has God gifted you to do? But I don't know, but I want to do that. No, find out what God's gifted you to do. Don't waste your time trying to do something he hasn't gifted you to do. Number three, acquire favor with God. Acquire favor with God. Everyone say favor. Verse 12. Saul was afraid. Everyone say afraid. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Let me read it again. Saul was afraid of David because he departed from Saul, but he was with God, with David. Saul had, God said, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. In the Old Testament, God would leave people. He would anoint them and leave me. Like Samson, he would have power, he wouldn't have power. And he says, Saul, I'm done with you. Sorry. Saul knew that. So here's Saul. He's going to have no power, supernatural power. I have no influence with people than like David. And he is a better warrior than me. And that's why he tried to kill him. For the rest of his life, I got to get rid of him. He was jealous. He was fearful. Do you have favor with God? What I mean by that is God setting up your appointments for you. Is God bringing you your girlfriend, your boyfriend? You don't want to get a girlfriend your way. You want God to hook you up. Because God made them. He made women. He understands them. I'm not trying to imply we don't understand you, but we don't. And ladies, God made men. And he understands them. And God understands what you need, not what you want. He knows what you want, but he knows what you need. And he knows the timing. Pray that God do that. Pray that God get you a job. Pray that God tells you where to live. Pray that God tells you what to study in school, because you may be studying something that you're never going to be good at. You want it, but it's really not what God has for you. It's not what he's gifted you to do, and it's a waste of your time. I wanted to be a doctor when I was a kid. For some reason, I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. So you say, God, I want your favor. I want your blessing. If I humble myself before God, he will lift me up. If you honor God, he honors you. So you don't want to operate in your life trying to get over your own obstacles and helping other people get over their obstacles without God in it, without God bringing you the divine appointments, without God empowering you, without God speaking to you. You want God to do it. David had God's power. And all through the rest of this book, you'll see David saying, the Bible say, David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. My challenge to you, start asking God, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to help? Who do you want me to help? What other giant killer do you want me to encourage? You've brought me through all this stuff in my life. How can I use that for somebody else? You want to grow? You want to grow? Ask five people to be honest with you and tell them how they perceive you. Ooh. And by the way, don't ask them directly. Ask someone to ask them for you so they could really be honest. Because here's what they'll say. Oh, you're just so nice, and you're friendly, and you're funny, and I really like being around you, and you make everyone feel so welcome. And yeah. But if you get someone else to ask them, oh, man, let me think. You want the good or the bad first? We did a 360-degree evaluation of all our staff. It started with me. And it's like 60 questions. And we had 25 people that I got evaluated by, people who are like my board above me that I report to, my peers who are other pastors, and then all the people who report to me. Not all, but it was 25 total. And they would answer all these questions, completely anonymous, because they did it on their own via computer, and I don't know who answered what. And then it came out, all these, you know, these opinions. And then they got four questions they can write a sentence. If there was something you always wanted to say to Miles, what would it be? So they wrote a sentence, 25 of them. If there was one thing he's doing to hold him back, what would it be? If there's one thing he does well, there's four questions. And so they got to write. You know, that is their truth. And you read that, he goes, and the guy who did it, he says, are you ready? He says, yeah, I'm ready. I can take it. But let me tell you, it really was I don't know if there was anything new, because I heard it before, but it was very good to hear it again. But it wasn't all good, obviously. It was some very direct, this is messed up. But how are you going to get better if you don't know that? How are you going to get better if you think everybody just loves you the way you are, and you're perfect. Because a lot of y'all think that. Everybody's cool with you. They ain't. Now, does that mean you're bad? No, it just means you're human. And it means that you have something really challenging and really exciting to grow. And by the way, if someone came up to you and said, you know what, you have a perception, it appears that you are lazy. Someone that cares for you. And you go, why? Because every time you're in a meeting, you just sit there, you don't write any notes, and you just, well, I'm listening. You know, it might be better if you write down what you're told to do so you don't forget. Okay, and you know what? That little piece of advice could change your life. Why are you always late? How many of y'all late all the time? You know what that says to the people you're late by? It's not important to you. And you know what? I bet you that most of y'all who are late, you're probably always late the same amount of time. You're always like 5 or 10 minutes late. Why can't you just go 5 or 10 minutes early? Because you know why? You don't try. You look at the clock and go, I got time. And you kind of look at the clock. Okay, if I leave now, I'm going to be on time. So let me just wait a few more minutes. Can I get an amen? And you who know those people, you're sitting there looking at them. You're like, and they are just determined to be late. And then they roll in late. You know what? I'm going to tell all you youngins, very bad habit. Very bad habit. Change it. Don't be late. Don't be late. Don't be sloppy. Pay attention. My dad, when I was a kid, he was the extreme opposite on steroids and human growth hormone. What I mean by that is that if we had a football game at 1 o'clock, especially if it was like, I went to school in Connecticut, grew up in New York, so it was an hour and a half away. So if we had a game like 4 hours away, at 1 o'clock, he would show up 11:30. 2 hours early, sitting in the car. My mother's like this. That brother would not be late for anybody. He's like hours early. And so I grew up on time, on time, on time. My point is this, if you ask people to evaluate you, to be honest, ask your friends, because all of your friends put up with stuff from you and never tell you. But if they told you, and you can fix it, how much better could you be a person like that? The Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful. Hey, you're sloppy. That may hurt you at first, but it's good to heal you. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, you're just so good. And in the back of their mind, they're talking about you. Uh-uh. So here's my challenge to you. This week, many things. Figure out what your skill is. Go on our website and do a gift test. Figure out what your skill is. Figure out what you're supposed to be good at. And ask God to show you one person that you need to help. Look outside yourself. Amen? Amen. I love y'all. I love being here. I love seeing y'all worship God. And I love having church. Amen. Hey, 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 hey. What's up? Let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much for today, right now. Thank you so much for Sunday night. Thank you so much for even the burdens we have right now. They're teaching us to trust you, to pray to you, to seek your face. I pray that we would work at having a good name. I pray we would think about the people we've offended, people that think we're idiots and jerks, that we would work at fixing that, repairing that, while maintaining our integrity and our faithfulness to the Word of God. I pray we would figure out what we do well and that we would do it well, that we wouldn't try to be everything to everybody, that we would try to be what you made us to be. I thank you for, though our America is drifting from you fast, I thank you that you put us here today to stand up for you in this crisis. You've put us here because you've trusted that we would be strong enough to fight. We would be faithful enough to fight, that we wouldn't worry about what people are going to say. Lord, I pray we would be that. I pray we would be that. And I pray for all these youngins here. They're so precious. They have so much life ahead of them. And they've grown up in a world that has misrepresented the truth to them. I pray we can give them the truth and they can understand and hear it and process it. I pray that you would save this generation. I pray for the little kids that are in first, second, third grade being subjected to perversion. I pray people would stand up and acknowledge it as perversion. And I pray that you protect their little hearts and their little minds. I pray they would understand the value of their mom and their dad. I pray they would understand the value of their precious little bodies. I pray that somehow you would protect their little souls from being violated through their children's books and their videos that they're watching in school. Lord, it is sad what we have allowed to happen to this country. It is sad all the people dying of diseases that they didn't have to get. And all the people who are conflicted in their soul with their life. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you died on the cross for our sin. And Lord, there may be somebody here tonight. They know they're a sinner. They know you loved them. They know you died for them. And they want you to forgive them of this sin. They want you to renew their mind. They want to repent and ask you to love them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Tonight may be the day you give your life to Jesus. It may be the day you finally stop fighting him, running from him, denying that he loves you. If you would like to do that, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect, but I know you love me. I know you died and rose from the dead, and I believe you have a plan for my life, and I believe you will forgive me. Jesus, please forgive me. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord and my God. Purify my body. Purify my mind. Purify my heart. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you want Jesus to forgive you today, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to surrender your issues, your drama, your pain to Jesus, your confusion. If you pray that prayer, eyes closed, heads bowed, we're going to ask you to stand up to your feet right now and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Stand up to your feet and acknowledge your surrender to him tonight. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you all in the balcony, all over the room. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God loves you just the way you are, but he's going to take you as you are, and he's going to mold and shape you into his image. That's the plan. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. In a minute, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you are in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will guide you down. And the rest of us, we're going to give you a big hand. So we're going to ask you to come out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and give them a hand as they come on down. Say, Jesus! Jesus.